When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday, and if you can't understand what you are seeing right now, it is two handsome devils, myself, John Chapman, as always, and my good friend, Ant, from 49ers Cutback, and I always say this, this is the podcast that I listen to the most. Ant, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, and the fact that we're here on a Thursday, it's me and you, we're talking. We know we're going to get into some ball, and things are never too obscure for us. You want to know about linebacker six, a linebacker eight, we got you. You want to know about the battle at for center number two and three, we're on it. I mean, that's kind of what we do. It's always fun because when you're talking with somebody that is in the team as much as John, you are, and as much as I like to be, it just always makes for some cool conversations. It doesn't mean it's always agreeing the same way, but there's never anything completely crazy that we can't wrap our heads around.
And I mean, look at this. Mosquito Killer said, is this a collab with Ant? I would just say to myself the other day, John and Ant need to do another show together. Well, guess what, guys? We have decided every Thursday for the entire season, we're going to be doing this show. I don't know what to call it. But it's going to be epic. It's going to be awesome. So Thursdays, 10 a.m., we got the John and Wayne show on Thursday. Now, if Ant is something new to you guys, and I'm speaking kind of directly to my channel here, you got to go subscribe at 49ers Cutback, wherever it is you watch and or listen. Go check it out. He puts out daily content, and probably my favorite show that he does is Wednesdays. He does the Red and Bold show with one of my favorite writers, Mark Adams. Great show. He's a Sooner. That's the only thing holding y'all back. But besides that, amazing, two great dudes. And it's just this community continues to grow with quality, not only like humans, but people that know football. My biggest thing is I can't listen to a show if somebody doesn't understand football. And I feel like the media is kind of permeated with that, sadly. But, man, I'm pumped about this. It's going to be a lot of fun, Ant.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And there's going to be a lot of fun stuff that comes up during the season. You know, exactly how this season goes is going to be up and down. But the thing is I think what's going to be nice is there's going to be, even though there's those roller coasters, we're going to kind of be that steady stream of keeping things, you know, the way they should be. It's okay to be critical. I call them coaches' points. You have coaching points, and it's okay to be critical. But it's also okay to say, you know what, that take is just a little too much. Let's tone that back a little bit. It doesn't have to be the crazy stuff. We know what football is, and football is going to be an up and down thing. That's just the way it is. But it's not going to be up and down on Thursdays. You guys got to make sure you're here every single week. It's going to be a lot of fun. And join the conversation. Get in chat. Let us know what you think, because I think it's going to be a great thing all year.
Now, you talked critical. I just finished my special teams breakdown, so I'm probably a little bit more negative than most. That was rough. I had a rough time, but I think my curse words was under 3.5, which is pretty good for, you know, a Schneider special teams breakdown, which usually I get a little hot during those, but that's okay. That's okay. So here's what we want to talk about. The title of the show today, looking ahead to the 49ers. And, you know, I've got a couple questions for Ant. He's got a couple questions for me. I want you guys to dictate how this conversation always goes. So if you have questions, throw those in the chat for sure. But, man, I would take Ant and probably Brad. Like, you guys are the two O-line gurus that I just absolutely am a big fan. What's up, Kia? How we doing? She says, aloha. We got a couple Hawaii. I saw Duran 808 in the house, too. We got some Hawaii folks in the chat, which I really like. But here's my question. Let's start with Jared Kingston. And I know somebody's like, why are we starting with Jared Kingston? He's a fascinating player to me that the 49ers have a lot of depth at the guard spot, but he kind of flashed in this preseason game a little bit. So, Ant, walk me through your thought on 49ers rookie guard Jared Kingston.
Yeah, so it's interesting that Jared Kingston, you know, comes from a complete pass-blocking background. When you look at his time at Washington State, that's pretty much what he did consistently.
Like Leach, baby.
And he was good. I mean, he was really good at pass-blocking. If there was one area you saw coming out of college, that was it. And I think we've seen that continue. When it comes to pass-blocking, he's done a good job. And I think this is Chris Foerster, him and Dominic Pooney, they went and got pass-blockers who they're trying to develop as run-blockers. I think Jared Kingston's very good technique-wise pass blocking. My concern is run blocking and being able to hold up. If you went, you know, I know you went through the film, John, and you saw there's a lot of times the defensive lineman really did a great job getting into his chest plate, getting separation, and then being able to disregard him and get ready or get rid of him, disengage, get into the running back. To me, it wasn't great as far as run blocking. Pass blocking, I thought he held up. I think that's the big question mark for the 49ers with a bunch of decisions, but I think with Kingston as well, how much better do they think he can run block? How much better can he get over the next month to be able to help this team? And I think if he can prove that he's a better run blocker, maybe he has an outside chance. I just think it's going to be really tough for him to make this roster with so many good interior offensive linemen.
It's crazy depth at that guard spot. And shout out to my man, David. He says, you know, Foerster had some interesting words on Kingston this morning. I just finished this clip. So here you go. Here's 49ers offensive line coach, Chris Foerster, like 10 minutes ago, talking about the rookie.
All the time he's improving. One thing I love about these young guys, John Lynch and I were talking about this morning, is these guys are really, they're working hard to improve, and they've made some good strides. That's not, it's a tribute to them, not to me. We just do what we do. We go out there and do the same thing every day, but these guys have grabbed onto it, and he has gotten better. The things that we saw that were limitations with him were fixable, and so he's been able to fix some of them. It's still not consistent, but it's gotten better. So there were things that were, they get addressed, you know, and we addressed him, and he's addressed him, which is good. Sometimes it's hard to break a habit, and we've talked about it in here before, where, you know, those in a game, when you start creating bad habits, they're hard to break. And these guys over the course of their college career have some bad habits that you have to break. And the things he had wrong, he's really fixed. And so that's helped elevate his game every week.
I like to hear that. I'm going to be honest. My favorite coach to listen talk is Chris Foerster by a mile. Do you agree? I love the tangents he goes off on. Started talking, yeah. 96 bucks. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, oh. No. Chris Foerster's got to be the best. It used to be Mike McDaniel, and then Mike McDaniel went to Miami, and then it became Chris Foerster. And the amount of insight that he gives you is different than every other coach. Like, he just gets into it. He doesn't care. He's going to say more than he's supposed to, and I absolutely love that about him. But he's an old ball coach, and I think that's what we all kind of gravitate to. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. Now, let's stick with the offensive line. A shout out to Kia the Boseman for subscribing over at the 49ers Cutback. That is incredible. If you guys haven't head over there yet, what are you doing? Go type it on YouTube, 49ers Cutback. Hit that subscribe button. Support positive content. It's out there. Let's go. Now, talk to me about John Feliciano. And I want to kind of use this conversation to talk about health and kind of that center rotation. What do you see with big number 55? It's been a weird offseason.
Yeah, it's tough for John Feliciano. I kind of thought when we were coming into camp that he was the starting right guard / competing at center potentially for that spot if Burford showed that he had improved from last year and got more consistent. But he's just been so inconsistent with being in the lineup. Barely at training camp. We only seen him a few days that he was out there. Knee irritation I don't know exactly what that means. I just know it means he's not out there. And with him not being out there, he's kind of starting to fall as far as the depth chart. We know Burford's going to be back here pretty soon with the broken hand. Dominic Pooney's played really well. And an opportunity to overtake Jake Brendel, I think, has been lost a little bit by Feliciano. I think he really did have a shot, especially with Brendel missing time with knee tendonitis. I think it would have been great for the 49ers to have a center that could anchor the way that John Feliciano does. But I just don't think that's possible now. So now he's looking like he's a rotational backup the way that he was last year. And that's crazy to say, considering he was probably the second best offensive lineman down the stretch last year. And the 49ers really counted on him. In fact, if he would have been in that Super Bowl game in the fourth quarter and overtime, the 49ers may have won that game. That's how significant he was. And now he's going to be a backup. It's crazy. I love Dominic Pooney, but just to think that John Feliciano coming back for his last ride, per se, at 34 years old, that he's going to be a backup is hard for me to kind of grasp at this point.
Now, it seems like most of his snaps came at center in training camp. Like, it was like him or Jake Brendel out there a lot with the ones. We saw some Zakel. We'll talk about that in a second. But, like, what do you think the first snaps of Feliciano are going to be? Are they going to be at center or are they going to be at guard?
I think it's going to be at guard at this point. I think that the way that the 49ers are trending, I think they like what they're getting from Nick Zakel. And I think they're finally starting to look at him again the way that they did originally when they drafted him, as potentially a future starter at the position, a young guy who they could develop. And it took a while for it to click, but it looks like it's starting to click now. With Feliciano, I think he could do it at a high level right now. I think he's a better center right now than anyone else on the team. But I don't know if they're going to actually let him take that Jake Brendel job. I think Chris Foerster wanted to flirt around with it, and we'll see what happens. Maybe Feliciano gets back out there on the field and proves it. But I think if he doesn't play in the preseason, it's going to stay status quo, and it's going to be Jake Brendel, and Feliciano is going to have to wait for an injury to get an opportunity.
That's crazy to me. All right, well, let's dive that in. Here's another comment from the head coach, from the 49ers offensive line coach, just talking about the rotation at backup center spot. Here's Chris Foerster.
You have Barch and Zakel that are bailing out with Nugent there as well. You got three guys there that can do it and that will work the backup, and we'll see how it plays out as the year goes on. Zakel obviously took the starting reps. I would say that if you looked at him and said what's Zakel's strengths and what Barch's are, I think that Zakel's probably playing a little bit better. Center suited him better, and guard probably suits Barch better. And not the either one of them play center. That's the first game Zakel's ever played in a game center, and that was it in college anywhere. So, and I just say that. So I give him the edge right now, but they're both right there, because then if you move Zakel to guard, Barch to center, it just depends on what you're looking at. You look at, say, okay, one of those guys will be your third or fourth guard, backup center. It's a lot of pieces we're moving there, but right, that's where it sits right now.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. His very first game ever taking snaps at center is against the starting Titans defense. And what were your thoughts when you went through the tape? I obviously did, but I want to keep those reserved till I hear what Big Ant's got to say.
Yeah, you know, I watched it live because I was very interested to see 63. I saw him towards the end of training camp, especially the last day. You were there. I was sitting next to Brad Graham, and I kept saying, hey, Zakel had another good rep. Zakel had another good rep. And so we were kind of watching him. And then so when he got in the game, I wanted to focus in on him, Dominic Pooney. That was a part of my normal look. I thought he looked fantastic. And when I watched the film back, I thought, you know what? Everything wasn't perfect, but compared to last year, this was an entirely different Nick Zakel. He looked confident. He looked comfortable. He was going to the right spots. His technique was a lot better. In run blocking, he actually got to the second level. So I thought that was good. So overall, I thought this was the first time officially that Nick Zakel put him in an opportunity to make this team. And I thought that, hey, this guy could be the backup center, and we could finally have somebody we're comfortable with that anchors a little bit better than Jake Brendel, which we know we need, and is blocking a little bit better as far as the run game. So it was a great showing by Zakel. He has to keep it going, though. He has to do well against the Saints. He has to do well against the Raiders. But if he can build consistency on what he did, I think it's great news for the 49ers and for Nick Zakel.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research, and they've come up with the idea. You want to help dogs' health? You got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch. ranch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think if there was an issue with Brindle early, it would be Feliciano or Barch in there. But if it's like after the bye week, then I think they want Zakel. I don't know. That's just my own take on it. But like, I don't know. I'm not the biggest Jake Brindle guy. I know he gets the calls. I know you got the continuity. I know you got all that. He's Forster's homeboy, all that. But it's just like the ceiling on Jake Brindle's play in the run game is almost catastrophic, which is crazy whenever you look at what Christian McCaffrey did and all those things. But for those of you that watch film, you would see 2 to 3 runs a game that would go for 5 yards that very easily could have been 40-yard rushes because he just can't stick blocks at the second level. He can get there every time. It's just he just cannot anchor a block or latch on at that second level. Kitty says, yeah, Jake Brendel, undrafted free agent. And props to Jake Brendel for reaching what he has, but it's just like he's at his ceiling. Can he get better at this point? I severely doubt it. And I do think that Zakel, maybe even Ben Barch, both have a higher ceiling. It's just, can their floor be as high? You agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think both of those guys, it's tough, especially for Barch. He just came into the system last year. So he's having to adjust. Adjusting to center is a little bit more difficult. And I think that's why you're hearing Coach Chris Foerster talk about he's a little bit better at guard. Nick Zakel already went through all that trying to play guard last year, and it didn't really work out. Now he's at his natural position of center. This is what everyone thought. The intelligence coming out of Fordham, he was going to be able to slide right into that spot. And the body never matched the mentality. The body never matched the football IQ until now. Now he's finally putting it together. So those two guys are interesting because I think they don't play exactly the same, but they have a similar makeup. They both were tackles in college. They're both highly intelligent. They're very versatile. So deciding between the two is going to be interesting. But I think Chris Foerster's locked into this. Nick Zakel is the better center. Ben Barch is the better guard. And ooh, I think that if Zakel can keep it going, I think he has a shot to make this team, which I didn't think before, because it doesn't sound like John Feliciano, according to Foerster's comments, is actually in the mix for backup center, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and you know, real quick before we move to our next topic, shout out to Luke. He says, John, we know you feel Feliciano is best that we have outside of Trent. I think Banks is the lock behind him. Then Trent, we'll see how it goes. Banks didn't have a good game. I know he was out there just for a couple of steps. His first three snaps were about as bad as they possibly could be, but he kind of corrected some stuff. And so I know he's played through a lot of injuries last year. That's one of the guys that I really want to see. And I don't think there's any competition at left guard. It's Banks's job. Right guard's three players in the mix for that one with Pooney, Feliciano, Burford. We'll see how that goes. I think there's going to be a rotation there early. But yeah, left guard, it's Banks. And Banks could be, he should be the second best offensive lineman we have. Should be. We saw it for the first three games last year till he got that turf toe injury. What's your confidence level, scale 1 to 10, 10 being super confident, that he's going to return to that kind of pre-Aaron Banks injury of 2023?
I would say probably a 7. I'm a little nervous about him. I do have optimism because we saw it before. And anytime you see it, then you know that that is attainable. So I think that he can, but I'm worried about what happens when he goes against offensive linemen with good lateral quickness. And we've got Quinnen Williams in week one. If that's going to be the ultimate test for whoever's right guard and then Aaron Banks. And I'm kind of nervous about that fact. So Banks, I think as long as he's healthy, he's going to play well. I think if for any reason he has any sort of thing that's going to limit his quickness, he's going to struggle a little bit. So I don't know. I'm worried about him, but I think he's got the ability. I think once you lock Trent Williams in next to him, I think for whatever reason that will elevate his game a lot and he'll get better. But yeah, right now I'm cautiously optimistic about Aaron Banks returning to that early season form of last year.
I'll take it. I'll take it all day. Well, Ant, I'll turn it over to you. I know you had some questions for me. We're going to kind of ping pong this bad boy back and forth, so I'm not just hogging all these questions. I'm being selfish with my information from Ant. That's kind of what's happening right now, but I'll relinquish control for a short period of time here.
Yeah, I got one for you. I am very interested to hear how you feel about the defensive end position, because the hope was, and we know our friend Josh is always talking about Robert Beal, and our hope was that Robert Beal was going to step up and be that guy. But I haven't seen the GTFO. I haven't seen the get off the ball really quickly. There's no whole shots to the quarterback. He's not beating tackles around the edge. And then he's struggling in the run game. So I have real concerns there. What do you think the 49ers do at defensive end? I mean, is it time to go shop? Is it time to go find one of these guys on the open market to slide in there and potentially give you some reps, because they go with the full rotation. And right now, I don't think they have a fourth guy. And I'm curious what you think. Who could be that guy?
Man, it's bad. And so he had 24 pass rush reps, zero pressures. I'm just going to be honest, was completely dominated on almost every single play. He was on the ground. I counted at least 8 times. I don't know. I do think that the right cause of action right now is let him play a ridiculous amount of snaps. He got 51 snaps, second most defensively out of everybody, to see if a light switch can turn on. The athleticism's there. the physical makeup's there. It's just really bad. And so my problem is he's doing the stunts wrong. Like, he's not even following the stunts right. It's a TE stunt. It's very simple. The tackle goes, then the end goes. It's not, I mean, it's two letters. There's not much to get confused about. He's doing it wrong consistently. So I don't know the answer. I know Robert Beal's not it now. I think Jonathan Garvin was awesome. I would prefer Alex Barrett to be my number four right now just because he's so consistent. Now, again, super low ceiling, very high floor. He's going to do everything you want to do. He's been with the team for 4 years now. He's an awesome guy. But, yeah, I'm seeing all these trades for defensive linemen throughout the NFL, and I'm like Tyrone Bigum's over here just like, hey, you got any more of those trades? Defensive now, the Niners have been notorious for getting these players on super cheap deals halfway through the season. Charles Omenihue, Jordan Willis, Chase Young, all these different guys. So that's probably the playbook for the 49ers. Let's see, right? Let's see if somebody steps up. Jonathan Garvin looked good, though. So I would say Alex Barrett would be my four, Jonathan Garvin five. Sam Ekwonu got a lot of training camp time. We haven't seen him in a little bit. There's a little bit of depth there. If I'm in charge of this roster, I'm putting Robert Beal. Guess what? You got a Cameron Latu injury. You're going to be out for a long time. We're going to put you on IR, come back next year, try again. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, you might have to. I do think it's interesting you brought up Sam Ekwonu, and I'm curious what they end up doing because they haven't cut him. They haven't waived him. They haven't created a roster spot using him. They must like him enough to keep him around. But they've got a tough decision. They've got basically two practice squad guys with Alex Barrett, you know, and Garvin. And then they've got Robert Beal, who they're hoping this got this huge ceiling. And then Sam Ekwonu, who we don't know. I think the problem is at some point they need a really solid player that can play consistent snaps. And I don't know. I'm with you on Robert Beal playing as many snaps as possible over the next two games to try to see if he can elevate that game. If he can't, they do have to go look at a Carl Lawson or a David Njoku or somebody out on the open market.
Carl Lawson just got signed.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, he just got signed. Wow. I don't remember who got him, but yeah, he just got signed this morning, like 30 minutes ago.
Breaking my heart.
Cowboys just signed him and traded for Jordan Phillips. That's the thing. Yeah, I've seen those things. And anytime I agree with the Cowboys, I know I'm wrong. So like that's good to know. But it's like, gosh, man, let's get somebody in here that can play. And
it's getting risky. Like, what's Taco Charlton up to? Is he available? I mean, no, I'm hoping Robert Beal figures this thing out. I don't know where they go. The Drake Jackson, you know, not being able to play all year definitely hits a little bit different because at least he would put pressure on the quarterback. Neither one can stop the run well, but at least he was putting pressure on the quarterback sometimes. I just don't see it. I'm still hopeful, though. I want Robert Beal to succeed.
Yeah, and, you know, I get a lot of Reddick questions and emails. Guys, if you get Reddick, you have to pay him $20 million plus. That's what the Jets are stuck with right now is they were like, hey, we could do a deal, right? We're going to trade for you. Yeah, we'll work something out. He wants top-tier money. Like, I don't even think $20 million. I think he wants, like, $24, $25 million. Niners have no business jumping into one of those. Reddick is not a team fit. He's not a scheme fit. I just don't see it. Yeah, obviously you can make room for somebody that gets that many sacks, but I don't even think that's on the radar. I don't even think it's I don't know. Tell me I'm crazy.
No, I think you're right. Number one, I don't think the 49ers want to trade the compensation it's going to take to get him back. Plus the money, like you said, he's going to want a new deal, you know, and that's been part of the hang up with some of the deals. Guys getting traded, just like Judon going to Atlanta. They're going to have to give him a new deal. That's what he wants. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the 49ers were ever going to pony up on that. Maybe he would have been a part of an Ayuk trade. That would have made more sense because then he could have left after 1 year or whatever. But, yeah, to me, they're not ponying up for any of these guys. They want to roll over as much money as possible the next year so they can bring back guys like Demo, potentially Talanoa Fonga and Dre Greenlaw. They got a lot of decisions that they have to make next year, and they need the money to do it.
Yeah, I like this point from Rusty. Maybe we could stag somebody from the Arena League or something. I don't know if there's anybody there. I don't follow it close. But Yannick Ngakoue is a name out there. You've got to get a cheap one. Like, it's got to be a bargain bin, cheap contract. So think like a rookie in a third year type of a guy that the Niners scouted heavily. That's the type of guy. It's not going to be, you know, one of these big top tier guys, because they're coming in. You're looking for a defensive end four. You look at who you paid with, you know, and I saw somebody else had a question since we're talking about this. Here we go. Kitty. Shout out to Kitty. Aunt John, good morning. Bills Mafia told me be aware of Floyd. Talk about Leonard Floyd. They say his sacks all come in garbage time. He gets bad teams and are only in the first half of the season. Any concerns? Man, I went through a lot of tape of Leonard Floyd last year. My favorite thing about him, and I remember him coming out of Georgia. I'm pretty opposed to most Georgia players, but we're talking Robert Beal. Let's just keep it in-house. The consistency that he plays with in the run and the consistency he plays with leverage in the pass rush, it is A++. Now, sacks are one of the hardest things to predict or consistent, whatever. So, yeah, that might be some of the issue. But the 49ers just need somebody that is reliable opposite of Nick Bosa. Leonard Floyd is that in spades. I'm not too concerned. The age is a problem. But, man, I watched that Buffalo tape, and it was consistent.
Yeah, he's good. Leonard Floyd's technique work is fantastic. The hands, the hips, the footwork, he can get on his edges. I mean, this guy can do it all. He can bend the corner. He can bull rush you. He's got the length to be able to get rid of you. To me, he's a solid guy. And you've got Nick Bosa on the other side. So garbage sacks aren't always the best thing. Look at Drake ending up with three against Pittsburgh. When you get a pass rush coming from the other side, sometimes you're going to get those guys down. So I think Leonard Floyd is the perfect player to play opposite of Bosa. And I think he's going to have a significant year. I think he's going to get double-digit sacks. This is what this guy does. And he's like the bionic man. He'll leave practice injured, and he'll come back 20 minutes later ready to roll and look just as good. He doesn't look old at all. He looks really good.
Yeah. He's been a pleasant surprise at camp. Invader says, you know, I just hope they don't overuse him. The Niners love to rotate their defensive line. This year might be a challenge. You got four defensive tackles that I think they trust. You got three defensive ends that I think they trust. I don't know. Maybe Bosa's going the Max Crosby route, and he's just going to play 98% of snaps every single game. I don't like that too much either, but yeah, we'll see. But the rotation at the defensive line, remember, they didn't draft one defensive lineman. It's suspect at best, and I do think that it's an issue. Eric, John, is Leonard Floyd a better pass rusher than Dee Ford? I'd say he's a much better football player. He's a much more complete defensive end. I'd probably give just the pass rush nod to Dee Ford, but you only had like a 2-year window where he was good. Whereas Leonard Floyd, what's he going on? Year 8? Year 9?
Yeah. How long is he? He's like a double digit guy, I think.
Yeah. 2016 is whenever he came out. So yeah, you're talking somebody that's going into year 9. He's done it literally three times longer than Dee Ford did, because Dee Ford really only had those good 2.5 years. I could be wrong on that, but yeah, I would take Dee Ford as just a pass rusher, but all the other stuff, no, because Dee Ford was only getting 20 snaps a game when he was healthy. Leonard Floyd's going to be that 40 to 50 snap kind of defensive end that's going to be out there for the majority of plays. He's very good against the run. His length is just unparalleled, and his strength, it's a complete defensive end. We've rotated in the past. Like, we had Cleland Farrell, who was the run guy, and then you brought in somebody like Chase Young or Arden Key or, you know, whatever. But we've always kind of had these two where it was, look, Samson Ebukam, he's the run guy. Let's pair him with the pass rusher, and these two guys will equal one. Leonard Floyd equals one by himself. He is two guys. So maybe the proper way to look at this is, instead of rotating near as much, you're going to keep Floyd out there because you can trust him on every single play and every single down and distance and every single situation. He doesn't have the negative kickback that a lot of these half players that the 49ers have had, like Chase Young. I don't know. Am I crazy?
No, and I think that's the big part of it is you finally got a complete defensive end opposite of Bosa consistently, and that's what you had to get. They haven't had anyone that could put the type of pressure that Dee Ford put on a quarterback until now. And do I think Dee Ford and Leonard Floyd do it differently? Absolutely. Dee Ford was so fast. His first step was so good that he just put pressure on initially, but Leonard Floyd can win. He's got nuance to the position. He's got very good hand technique. He's going to be able to get hands off of him and get to the quarterback. And he's also, like you said, going to play the run very well. And that's what you needed. That was not the greatest part of Dee Ford's game, was stopping the run. That's why he's mainly just a pass-only guy, a third and long situation guy. So I think they're going to get this thing with Leonard Floyd where it looks really nice between the two of them. But all you have to add is Gross Matos.
Yeah, and he's won a Super Bowl. Like, he's been on – he's been there. He's achieved that. It's nice to have that in the room. I don't know how many players we have on this roster that have Super Bowl victories, but it's not a lot. Obviously, the deep playoff success is there, but we'll see. Anyway, I think that that goes into the equation. I really, really do. Now, here's what I want to know. The 49ers Rush platform is looking for sponsors for the 2024 49ers season. Help out his podcast, and we have rates as low as $75 starting, just so you can advertise with us. We have over 100,000 social media subscribers and average well over 20,000 views/listens per episode. So get on with the faithful and get your product out there. Reach out to us at 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com and get started today.
The Saints game's coming up on Sunday. I'm excited. Going to be hanging out with my man Rusty. We're going to be having a good time at the game. What are some of the things that you're most looking forward to? One, do you think the starters are going to play? And then two, is there a name on offense and a name on defense, or a couple names that stand out that you're just like, we got to pay attention here?
Yeah, I do think the starters are probably going to play. If Kyle Shanahan holds true to what he did last year, he'll play the starters a little bit. And I think part of it, too, they didn't have the joint practices, which means he didn't get as much work for the ones. So I expect Brock Purdy and the starters to play just a little bit of the game before they move on. The thing I'm probably the most interested to see is how consistent we're going to get play from guys like Dee Winters and Malik Mustafa on defense. We saw the flashes. Maybe they lacked consistency during the game. Can they get a little bit more consistent while still having those flash wow plays? And then on offense, it's going to be Dominic Pooney, and it's going to be the wide receivers. How are these guys handling the position? Because I think there's still question marks. Maybe we'll get an Ayuk deal before that. Who knows? But I think that when it comes down to it, Dominic Pooney, Nick Sakel, those guys, if they can build on their performances, I think we'll all start feeling even more and more comfortable with this offensive line and Chris Foerster's development of the offensive line. So it's offensive line primarily on offense. And on defense, it's can those young guys who showed so much flashes build with consistency. If they can, then this is going to be great news for the 49ers, and they're looking on the way up. But if not, then we've got question marks about linebacker three, and we got question marks about potentially depth down the road. But I'm hoping that's not an issue. Those are things I'm excited to see.
You know, I was doing a bunch of film just on George Odom. He only played the first series, but he made like three or four plays in a row. It's funny. The first five plays of that Titans game were made by both of our safeties. Like, we had two starters playing on defense, and they were the two dudes just lighting everybody up. And the jump that you saw George Odom take was huge. Now, I have been very adamant that DFF is a concern for me if he's that number three linebacker who got almost every time he was healthy in camp, he got first team reps every single time. Now, Dee Winters showed the ceiling and the splash plays are there, but the mental mistakes, over pursuit, lack of zone drops, that's there as well. I really want to be able to have kind of a similar situation with DFF against an opponent live, because I do think that this is a close competition, and 9 out of 10 times the 49ers are going to go with the vet almost every single time. It's just kind of their philosophy. But how close is this DFF Dee Winters for that number three linebacker spot? Maybe you could even throw in Curtis Robinson, who might be a little more consistent than both. But again, you're losing the splash. You're losing the ceiling. Talk to me about this number three linebacker spot.
Yeah, this one is a little bit nerve-wracking because I think we're all hoping. Last year was easy. We knew Oren Burks was going to step in, take over the role. He was better. This year, it's can Dee Winters be consistent enough? And he has to be consistent on the 20 to 25% of snaps that he's going to play. And I think that's the biggest question. The flash plays are there. You're never going to get a flash play like that from DFF. It's just not going to happen. That's not in his makeup. He doesn't pull the trigger fast enough to get upfield and make those plays. My problem with Dee Winters right now is there's not enough consistency on some of the things that you have to do. Being at home on the cutback lane and making sure you're in the right spot, not getting
49ers cutback.
And so that's one of those things I'm concerned about. And so you got to worry about what D. Winters is going to do in just some of the easy things with linebacker. But he's better in coverage than DFF. He's more explosive than DFF. He's got a bigger upside than DFF. Everything about it says as long as he can play well in the next two games, he's going to start over DFF, in my opinion, from what I've seen at practice and what I've seen in the preseason. But Coach Johnny Hollins has to feel comfortable with that decision. He has to feel comfortable that D. Winters isn't going to make the easy mistake. One thing I will throw out there, though, he didn't have Fred Warner next to him in this game. If Fred Warner's out there with him and Devondre Campbell, they're going to make sure D. Winters knows what his assignment is. They're going to make sure he's lined up correctly. That could play huge for D. Winters and what effect he could have on the football team.
Yeah. I mean, that's like me recording next to Ant. He gets to carry everything, and I just show up and look pretty. You know what I mean? That's my only job. I'm just the eye candy of the 49ers Rush podcast. That's what it is. Now, let me say this, or let me ask this, rather. If you had to decide right now, knowing everything you know, who are you putting out there week one as your number three? Assuming we get no more information. You, Coach Ant, you're picking. Who are you putting out there?
I'm putting D. Winters because the reason is I'm going to get frustrated with either one of those guys. I have film on my Patreon of DFF where I'm not proud of how frustrated I got with DFF. Let's just say that with his linebacker play. So if I'm going to be frustrated with the linebacker, I want the guy that's going to make a negative play. I want him to go out there and make something happen for the defense. So I'm going with the young guy until he figures it out. I'm hoping that we see consistency a little bit more. There were times at practice where he showed it. There's some of those elite traits from D. Winters that I think put him over the top, but I'm not 100% sure that's what the 49ers will do. But I would go with D.
There we go. Now, right here, Lou asks, what's up with Jalen Graham? One, I thought he was one of the only bright spots of the special teams coverage. He was actually good on kickoff and kickoff return, one of the only few guys. But he's just not getting a lot of the reps. They're getting him mostly Mike snaps, but it's behind Curtis Robinson. It's behind DFF. It's behind Fred. Like, he's not getting a lot of work during training camp. So is there anything that you've seen with Graham? Because when he's out there, I feel like he's playing well. But he's really, really far behind the eight ball as far as rotations go and reps go in camp.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's got good instincts. Mm-hmm. He really does. I mean, especially when it comes to the run game. And I was expecting him to have better instincts when he came out of college in the passing game, better drops, all that. But it's actually the run game that he does a pretty good job. He's built for that Sam linebacker role and playing that position. I think he's way behind D. Winters. D. Winters is just way past him. Last year in training camp, I thought Jalen Graham was actually playing better than Winters, but now it's not even close. Winters has jumped. He's way ahead of him. But I do think Graham has a place on this team. You talked about special teams, and I still think he can develop into a solid linebacker as long as they'll give him time, because I think he has a higher ceiling than a guy like DFF, a higher ceiling than some of the other guys that they've had on this roster before. Maybe Ezekiel Turner being off the roster is going to give him an opportunity for more playing time, and maybe he'll develop a little bit. I like him, but I haven't seen the growth that I thought I was going to get from year one to year two.
That's fair. I like that. Now, all right, here we go. Let's do this. What are your thoughts on Cameron Latu?
It's tough. I think Cameron Latu, I was hoping that we were going to see a guy that made plays in the passing game, and we are not seeing a guy that's making plays in the passing game, and he needed it. Going through the film, it's exactly what you would think with Cameron Latu. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. There are moments he plays good. There's moments he plays bad. And then there's some that you're like, what are you doing? How are you on the field right now? And I think that's the frustrating part with Cameron Latu. You see the ability. He's a big body who can get open, who's got long arms, that can, you know, make plays. The good news is he's catching the football. I think if you look at him from last year to this year, it's completely different. He is way better than last year, but is it enough right now? Has he improved enough for them to keep Cameron Latu? I would say off his first preseason performance, it's no, but there's two more games. Let's see what he can do. See what chance he can make for himself, but it's not enough yet for Cameron Latu.
Man, I just finished special teams breakdown and I was trying to find, like, okay, I wanted to highlight 81 because he's out there a lot. That dude is just jogging. Like, he had zero, like, sense of urgency. there were like three plays he could have got in on a tackle and just kind of backed up and watched. Like he reminds me of Ambry Thomas. He's a bigger Ambry Thomas that is just very scared of contact at this point. Now he's doing better offensively, still making lots of mistakes, still missing lots of blocks, but at least, you know, we had the penalty. I think it was the 2-point conversion where he just didn't line up right. Yeah. And so it was illegal for like, I can't find a thing that he does well. I think Jake Tonjes has completely taken his spot as the tight end four. They like Jake Tonjes a lot, and he's good on special teams, and he can play fullback, and he can block better, and he runs routes better. Like, the competition was, okay, can Cameron Latu be the tight end two? You remember when they asked Shanahan that, and he laughed at him? Like, it was like the meanest I've ever seen Shanahan. Like, somebody's like, so Cameron Latu is going to be your tight end too? And he's like, what? No. Like, he hasn't even practiced. Like, and so then it was like, okay, he's not tight end two. Can he be tight end three? You know, Saubert took tight end two. And I think Braden Willis completely took tight end three. He beat him out last year anyway. Now I think Jake Tonjes has beat him out for tight end four. And now you got Mason Plein versus Cameron Latu. And he's ahead of Mason Plein. Plein got zero offensive reps. There was one point, I was at the game in Nashville, and it was the second to last drive, right? So we're down like what at 4 points or whatever. Mason Plein starts off in the huddle to start the drive. And then they sub in Cameron Latu, and you saw 89 jog off, and it was like, no, no. Like, I thought he was going to get a play. So I don't know. Do you agree with that depth chart at the tight end? Kittle, Saubert, Braden Willis, Jake Tonjes, Cameron Latu, then Mason Plein.
Yeah, I think if you're going strictly off what we've seen on the field, absolutely. Do I think the 49ers are going to give him every opportunity to be tight end four? Yes, I think they're going to give Cameron Latu every opportunity because like it was brought up in chat, I think Invader said it. Yeah, there it is. Latu is not going to clear waivers more than likely. Someone's going to pick him up and put him as one of the last tight ends on their roster and try to develop him where Jake Tonjes was on the 49ers practice squad last year. So I think that there's a better chance for him to get there, for them to elevate him, make Latu inactive at times and use him that way. I do believe Jake Tonjes has a spot on the 49ers, whether it's 53 or practice squad, because of his versatility. He is the next best fullback for the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, the guy made the team in Chicago as a fullback. That was his job until he got cut. So he's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster. I like Jake Tonjes a lot. And I think if you were just in a vacuum completely picking the top four guys, he would be number four. But when you look at upside, you have to make some of those decisions at the end of the roster. The 49ers might elect to go with Cameron Latu unless they believe it's completely bad with special teams like you brought up. And then who knows? But they're going to give Latu
how do you keep a four tight end that is terrible at special teams?
Yeah.
That's hard.
It's my same thing with other positions. You know, you get to like wide receiver and it's like, how do you keep a guy that's not going to be able to help you on special teams? A guy like Ambry Thomas before he got hurt, it's like, how do you keep him? He's terrible at special teams.
Yeah, we saw it. Real quick, Lou, I think you joined us a little late. He says, can you talk about Forrester and Kyle's issue with Zakel? That was the second topic we did. So once you're finished watching the live, just jump back to about the 5 or 6 minute mark. We went into depth on that and even played some clips on that. So that's there. I do want to let everybody know, sorry, got to pay the bills a little bit here. We are giving away two tickets to the Monday Night Football home opener, 49ers Jets club level seats between the 20s. We're giving those away on August 19th. So, man, 4 days, almost up for time. The49ersrush.com. Just hit the link in the video. It's $20 per entry, or you get three entries for $50. So, yeah, we're going to be raffling those off on the 19th. Going to go to somebody, have a good time. Those tickets are going for $1,800 currently. Now, I want to jump into a little wide receiver talk. You said you wanted to talk about this earlier. Good Lord. There's just so many. And how do you handle this? Chris Conley, I feel like, has like made it onto the island of safety, if you will. Like, he's good. Can we start there? Is Chris Conley safe on this 53-man roster?
I would like to think so. I just don't know. I because what are they going to do with Jacob Cowing? What are they going to do with other guys on the roster? Do you keep Trent Taylor? I mean, if you're going, like I said, I think Chris Conley should be. I think everything about it should be, but Kyle Shanahan makes me nervous when he talks about talking to veterans about getting him on the practice squad. And me and Mark had Matt Maiocco on our show a little while back, and he said straight up, Conley and Trent Taylor might end up on the practice squad. And so that was the first time I thought about Conley going that route. I would put Chris Conley as one of the top six wide receivers. I think he did the best in the game, of any wide receiver. I thought he's just that complete guy. But I just don't know how Kyle Shanahan's going to move on this, because they have to decide between him and Trent Taylor, who they need for punt return. And then they got a lot of young guys. Are those guys going to be able to clear waivers?
Man, I will say this. Watching Trent Taylor return those kicks were just about the low point. Like, I really did feel like it was John Chapman back there with his 5'6", 40. Trent Taylor's a punt returner, and he's been great in camp as that slot backup. I feel like Trent Taylor's safe. It's just my own personal whatever. And, like, what are you losing if he gets claimed? Like, and again, the IU situation is weird. There's no updates as of now. The 49ers are currently practicing, so we're not going to get updates anytime soon. But if Ayuk, whatever happens, is not suited up week one, Chris Conley is your starting wide receiver in three wide receiver sets, period. Like, I have a hard time walking away for that to keep somebody like Trent Taylor, to keep somebody like Ronnie Bell, to keep somebody. And you know what? Going back to what I think versus what Kyle thinks, they're pretty high on Danny Gray. He took so many first-team reps at that X position. Now, he's been in a blue non-contact jersey almost nonstop, but he got out of it yesterday. Hopefully, he stays out of it. His big issue has been availability. Just can't play through those sticks. Also, freaking Ricky Pearsall, that dude ain't practicing at all. Let's do this, all right? Let's roundtable this. Let's make our six wide receivers. Let's just, for the benefit of the doubt, we're keeping six, okay? Who are our guaranteed locks? Juwan Jennings, Debo, right?
Right.
And we're going to say Ayuk because we're nice people and we don't want to ruin children's dreams. So we've got three, all right? Put somebody up. Who's next? Who's next, Ant?
I think it's got to be Ricky Pearsall.
Ricky Pearsall.
I don't think he's not going on IR to end his year or making him one of those guys that comes back. They need those roles. So they'll just carry him. So Pearsall's got to be one of those guys for sure.
How long is that dude going to be out with a shoulder?
I think until the regular season. I don't think we're going to see him for the preseason. I think they'll hold him out. He's going to go cold turkey against the Jets. I didn't think of it until now. I started talking that yesterday with Mark because the honest truth is he's not out of practice again. If he was out of practice, maybe we'd see him against New Orleans or the Raiders. But
he wasn't out there.
I don't know. Yeah.
And so, like, when is he going to play? How does that dude play? He's got no snaps. Jacob Cowing hasn't played much, but he's had four times as many training camp practices as Ricky Pearsall. Like, Danny Gray is an Iron Man compared to Ricky Pearsall so far, which is crazy. Like, I know I'm being like whatever, but like, come on, like, am I nuts here?
No, I mean, that's the thing, Ricky Pearsall. I was out there at training camp and I saw him practice some and he looks good. The problem is
he looks good.
Like you said, he's hurt again. And I think you're right about Kyle liking Danny Gray. And I was, before training camp happened, I said, if Brandon Ayuk holds out, you're going to see Danny Gray getting starting X receiver reps out there. I knew it was going to happen. Gray's going to be back and he's going to be featured in this game. They're going to take a deep dive at looking at what Danny Gray could be. This is my concern about guys like Chris Conley and Trent Taylor. They've got to keep young guys like Danny Gray and potentially Jacob Cowing on this roster because they provide something that no one else does, and that speed element. And I think Danny Gray can help on special teams as a gunner, as a return guy on the kick return.
Legit
him and Debo
gunner
together would be great. So those are the things that I wonder about. How are they going to figure out the end of this wide receiver room is going to be difficult. And that's what makes me nervous about guys like Chris Conley. I want Conley on this team. He's just a great vet who does things right. I think they're going to try to play some sort of games where, because he has so many accrued seasons, him and Trent Taylor, that they release them and they say, hey, we're going to sign you back to the practice squad. You're going to be elevated. You're going to help this team. But we can't lose Jacob Cowing.
Yeah. Look, Ricky Pearsall, I wore my shirt for you today. I did not, but I looked down. I was like, this is what he needs. It's the Kawakami code for Contra and so many other games. The up, up, down, down, left, right, ABBA, start. Like, go get some infinite lives, big dog, because we need you. And it sucks what is happening. And let me say this. The dude played in 51 college games consecutively without ever missing a game. Ever. Never missed a game. Two schools, 5 years. Dude is tough. And the reason why I'm frustrated is because I'm so excited about him. So I'm not trying to be negative. So I apologize if it comes off that way. I'm just frustrated, which is a human reaction that I get after watching special teams 49ers play. Now, Big Pop, I want to say thank you, man. Miss you, brother. He says, shoot, my favorite content creators, and I miss the show. I'm going to have to rewatch it. Every Thursday all season, John and Ant. I don't know. We got to come up with a cool name. It's what it's going to be. So I want to go back to this. And while you were talking, we've got our four wide receivers that we're keeping. You get to pick one extra. I get to pick one extra. That's how we're going to do it. Okay. So we're keeping Pearsall, Ayuk, Debo, Jennings. You name your wide receiver you want to keep outside of that. Pick anybody.
That I want to keep or I think they're going to keep.
This is you. I'm going Coach Ant. What are you doing?
I'm keeping Danny Gray. I'm keeping the guy that I've seen at training camp over the last 2 years. I know no one gets to see it besides us, John, because we're out there. But the guy has showed such improvements, and he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. He adds added elements to this offense they don't have without him. And the speed is different than anyone else on the team. I mean, it's not even close. We saw that fly sweep they ran to Trent Taylor in the preseason game. If that was given to Danny Gray, he never stopped running. He was all the way to the end zone. That's how much different he is. And he's a legit X receiver, which I think is a problem for them. So I would go Danny Gray.
I want to cheat. I should have went first. Because now I have to decide between Chris Conley, who can play all three spots, and then the upside of a fourth-round pick. We're keeping the fourth-round pick. The question is, does he get the Law 2 treatment? Do you put him on IR and just say, come back next year? I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm just like, God bless it. If I was in charge, I might say, Cowing, you're on IR. And then I'm going to keep Conley, or I just keep Cowing. But then I'm waving. You got to wait until the Ayuk situation pans out. I think you got to, and you might only keep five anyway. I'm keeping Jacob Cowing, who's looked good, but he hasn't practiced much. He was practicing before the Titans game. They chose to keep him out. I think we'll see him this game. At least I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is he going to end up getting – he is a candidate for the Cameron Latu last year. What exactly happened towards the end? Jacob Cowing has had injuries. There's no reason they can't say, oh, you know what? He's got another injury and potentially just redshirt him. I think he's more along that line than a guy like Pearsall. They're counting on Pearsall to come in and help them. And so I think Cowing could be in that. If that happens, then Conley would make this roster. And maybe that's how they figure it out. But I think Chris Conley and Trent Taylor are loyal to the 49ers enough that they could say, hey, we're going to release you, come back to the practice squad. And week one, Chris Conley, you're going to play. No worries. We'll end up elevating you the same way we did last year. You'll eventually be all the way on this roster. But we've got to get some of these guys to the IR. Some of these guys, we can't afford to lose them and waive them. We know we won't lose you.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see somebody picking up Conley. Dude made plays in the Super Bowl. He made plays in the divisional round. He's been awesome through preseason. I don't know. I do like that they let him talk at the podium. I'm so mad that I just said I would let go of Chris Conley.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like myself, and I don't like my choices.
Well, that's what's tough is because he's such a good guy. He's so intelligent. He adds so much to this team. And yet you're going to have to maybe go to this guy and say, you know what, even though you are one of the top guys on this team, we have to go ahead and let you go because of roster maneuverability. And that's tough to do. But I think he's been in the league long enough that he understands the business. And you have to go to those guys the same way you would certain players, veterans around, because they have enough crude seasons. There's no waivers for them to have to clear. They're just out there waiting. I mean, they did it with Tyler Kroft a couple years ago. You just wait for him, and all of a sudden he comes back once you've made your roster moves. So that's why I think it's a possibility. I think Trent Taylor's are for sure going to happen that way. I think Conley's a possibility if they decide not to put Cowing on IR.
Man, it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. Now, a couple other questions and just stuff. Hufanga update. He's been jogging a lot more out there at practice and working on the side field for the first time. He's supposed to have his doctor checkup today, I believe. So we should be able to get some more information on that tomorrow or the following day. But I think the doctor checkup is today or tomorrow. And that's the last, like, hurdle.
It is today. It is today. So I don't know if we'll get news today, but hopefully a decision's made and then the 49ers can bring him off the PUP list. And when that happens, maybe the corresponding move will be Kalia Davis going on IR. Maybe that's why they saved it. We'll see what happens. But it would be nice to get Huff out there right now. I think if he gets out here now, there's a chance he plays week one. I think if this goes any longer, I think it will be George Odom. But I think we might get Huff actually week one versus the Jets.
Man, that would be – George Odom has played so well that I don't think you have to. But, yeah, I mean, Hufanga's that good. If he could practice for 2.5-3 weeks, he's that good. I'm pretty excited to see what he's going to do. Shout out to my man, Gio Cade, the beast. He says, see you at Tampa and Miami for the Rush road trips. That's what's up. And so if you're going to any road games this year, man, come say what's up, guys. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We're going to be out in Minnesota, Seattle, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Arizona. We're partnering with a Miami tailgate. I'm not going to be able to be there. Wife said no, but I'll be at all the other ones. So just head out there, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets. Prices do go up on all those tailgates the day before parties as we get closer to the year. Because right now, the more we get, I get to pay that much to the venues and whatever. And, you know, we're going to have 200 people. We're going to have 500 people. That it's awesome problems to have. But the people that get their tickets early helps us out. So we give a discount to that. So anyway, if you're coming out, and you coming to any away games this year? I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, it's tough for me to get to road games. I would love to. If I ever get to go to a road game, I will definitely go to the Rush road trip and make it a full experience. But yeah, it's tough. I even have a hard time sometimes getting to the home games just with my schedule. Dealing with traffic coming out of there and getting home is always a huge mission. Even training camp, sometimes 6 hours in the car for me just to go there and back. It's insane.
Where's this light rail system between Sacktown and Levi's? Let's go, guys. Get on it. Anyway, I don't want to jump into those worms. Well, Ant, is there anything that you want to discuss before we jump out of here? Have we covered every single thing that every 49ers fan has ever wanted to talk about more? Where are we at?
I don't know. I don't think we covered everything, but I do think we covered as much as we could cover in this show. I mean, we were touching on pretty much everything that was on the docket for today. And, you know, it's a great problem to have for the 49ers that we're talking about depth the way that we're talking about depth. We're talking about real competitions at wide receivers 4 through 6 and linebackers 4 through 6. Other teams don't have this problem. They have Joe Schmoes that are getting ready to play those positions, and they don't ever talk about them. So what a luxury that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have built this team the way they built it. And that's what we get to watch in these preseason games. And we get excited about guys and invested. I mean, imagine that me and you are invested in Chris Conley and invested in Danny Gray and guys who – Danny Gray's caught one pass in his entire NFL career. We're invested in what's going to happen in his future. I think that has something to be said about this organization and the fan base, how in tune we are with the players that are on the roster. I guarantee people in chat can name all 91 guys that are on this roster. I think that's impressive.
Do you remember when we were kids and like the only way you could get Niners coverage might have been different? You were in California. I was in Texas. I had to watch all of SportsCenter, which was an hour to an hour and a half in the football season, for 2 minutes. And then I would rewatch it just in case I missed something on those 2 minutes of 49ers coverage. Now, goodness, it's just a different generation, man. It's incredible. I love it. Lou, he says, your show is Thursday at what time? 10 a.m. I think we'll keep it there. A couple Thursdays have to fly out, whatever else. We'll figure it out. But 10 a.m. Pacific time. Yeah, that's what we're going to do it at. So, yeah, make sure you go subscribe. The 49 or just 49ers Cutback, at 49ers Cutback. That's what you're going to type in. So, yeah, if you're Eastern, 1 p.m. your time, Invader, there we go. That's what it's going to do. So that's going to do it for us. Ant, thank you. I'm excited about this. Everybody else, really appreciate you guys. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.